God bless you, and welcome back to Soteria Prophetic Ministries. I'm your host, Delisa Fields. Today's topic is one that I have to admit I feel a little apprehensive about releasing to you. Not that I didn't hear God. I know I heard Him. But this topic, if it's not released in the right spirit or received with the right spirit, the enemy can do a lot of things with it. You know, all scripture is profitable for doctrine. We understand that. But there, depending on the messenger and the recipient, even that, no matter how pure a message, the intentions of the message is, depending on the way that it's delivered and depending on the way that it's received, can alter the destiny of that message. So having said all of that, I'm talking today about dealing with jealousy. You know, I haven't really worked the title yet. I'll do that maybe toward the end, because like I said, I had just been personally wrestling with approaching this subject. Again, not because I'm not sure that I heard God. I know I heard Him. I know the scriptures are clear. It's just that you have to be very, very careful when you're dealing about jealousy in the body of Christ, because, again, if it's not ministered with grace, it can come off as being elite, arrogant, cocky, boastful, prideful, excuse me. And if it's not received the right way, it can come off as abrasive, offensive, accusatory, things of that nature. And that is never my intention. So I'm going to obey the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to approach this subject, walking in the Spirit of God and the fear of the Lord. But because I, despite my struggles with it, I still feel that it's something that we need to talk about. We need to think about, and we need to look at it in its biblical, context. So having said all of that, Genesis chapter 37, verse 4. The Bible says, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him." Okay. In context, or taken out of context, I guess I should say, or we can infer that Joseph and the relationship that he had with his siblings was not the ideal sibling relationship. There was some deep-rooted jealousy there. And, you know, it's not something we can miss. It's blatant jealousy. The jealousy is loud, you know. I mean, there's some things you just can't miss if you try. The jealousy, the hatred that they had for him was very loud. The Bible says that they couldn't even speak to him peacefully or on friendly terms. They couldn't even say, some translations say, they couldn't say a kind word to him. So, you know, when you have someone who is battling or bound by a spirit of jealousy, it's really hard for them to speak peaceably to you. It's really hard for them to befriend you. And you can literally see their effort. You know, you may encounter this in a work relationship, a church relationship, family relationship, society relationship. And you can almost see the effort that people put forth, really trying to make that work, really trying to overcome their feelings. But there's sometimes when we allow that spirit of jealousy to run deep, it's unhideable. It's not one of those things that you can lock in the closet. You know, it will wear itself on your face. It will wear itself in your voice, even in the tone of your voice. So as becoming saints, I think this is something that we want to look at in terms of, you know, facing jealousy and maintaining integrity. I think that's going to be my topic. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Facing jealousy and maintaining your integrity. So we have Joseph. I want to give you a few other examples, and then I'm going to double back to Joseph, okay? This is found in Genesis chapter 27, verse 41. Genesis 27, verse 41. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then I will kill my brother Jacob. So I want you to see two things that are happening here with Joseph and the relationship with his brothers. Look at the relationship between Esau and Jacob. And these were hostile relationships rooted out of jealousy. So if this is where you are, if you're harboring jealousy in your heart for someone, you really want to take that bull by the horns. You want to take that bull by the horn. If not, it can be very dangerous. When we look at Cain and Abel, and these are all, listen, examples in the book of Genesis. I've given you three. An example with Cain and Abel, that Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's was not. And so Cain began to his heart filled with envy or jealousy. So, you know, jealousy defined, let me just give you a quick definition. Jealousy defined is defined as resentment against a rival. In other words, you no longer see that person as a friend, as a family member, as a neighbor. You know, now they have become your enemy. It's resentment against an enemy. Someone you made the enemy. The brothers made Joseph their enemy. Esau made Jacob his enemy. Cain made Abel his enemy. So it's resentment against a rival, a rival or a person enjoying success or advantage, or being against another's success or advantage. Okay. So that's just a definition there, feeling resentment against someone, because of their success, and so forth. So jealousy is not something that you just want to, well, first of all, it won't let you sweep it under the rug. It's not one of those things that you can just push to the corner and deal with it later. You have to deal with it the moment it presents itself, the moment that you feel that spirit. Apostle Paul talked about, he felt something warring in his members. The minute you find something warring within you, in your mind, in your eyes, in your tone of voice, that's your sign. That's the Holy Ghost telling you to deal with that. You know, one of the ways that people describe jealousy is as a green-eyed monster. So it's not something that, like I said, you can't push it to the side. So I gave you Genesis 27:41 with Esau and Jacob. Let's look at now 1 Samuel 17:28. This is talking about David. Now, when David's oldest brother Eliab heard him speaking to the men, his anger burned against David. "Why have you come down here?" he asked. "And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and wickedness of heart. You have come down to see the battle." So you find David's older brothers, his oldest brother especially, railing on him. "What are you doing here?" Now, when you look at, I don't want to dig too deep at this, but when you look at David's background, David didn't have much for his brothers to be jealous of, you know? And so, you know, many times you wonder, I know I do, and not that I'm all that in a bag of chips, but, you know, I'm just stating a fact. Many times you find people jealous of you, and you know within yourself that, you know, there's really nothing to be jealous about. You know, there's really nothing to be jealous about. With David, you know, yeah, God was favored, but at what cost? You know, he didn't have a relationship with his father or his brothers or his mom for that matter. So, you know, God was all he had. And you'd be amazed at people who are jealous because of your relationship with God, not even considering they can have their own unique, intimate relationship if they would just take the time to you know, pour into it, sow into it. But you will find people envious and coveting, you know, and desiring the relationship that you have with the Almighty God, who's limitless. He cannot be bound by no man, not even time. And so, you know, it's kind of those, one of those things that just kind of make you just scratch your head, like, you know, do I really understand what's happening here? And so with David, he had a few sheep. He didn't even have a whole lot in terms of material wealth. You know, he wasn't even invited to dinner when the prophet came to town, and that's a big thing. So why are you jealous over someone who has little in terms of material wealth, unless you see something in them that maybe they don't see within themselves? And I think this is what happened with Joseph and his brothers. Got a lot of J's working here, but I believe this is what happened with Joseph and his brothers, being that they were older. you know, they had a little bit more perspective on life. They were more discerning, you know, had a little bit more experience in things. And so when they noticed that Jacob made Joseph this coat of many colors, it provoked them. You know, why are they doing it for him? He's the baby boy. We've been here, you know, all along. What's so special about him? And so it wasn't anything that Joseph did. Of course, we know later on he played into that and made matters, you know, a lot worse for himself. But in the beginning, it wasn't anything that he did. It was because of the favor that God had bestowed upon him, something he did not ask for. Same thing happened with David. David didn't ask for the favor of God. David just postured himself and lived a life that attracted the presence. So you would be amazed at people who are envious and who can't speak peaceable to you because you found favor with God. Because you found, like Abel did, you found that thing that pleased God's heart. You found a place of worship where God is. And you know, you pressed in. You know, when everybody else was gazing and wondering about what was on the stove for dinner, you were caught up in the glory of God. You were caught up in the presence, eyes shut, hands lifted, mouth open, head back, spirit open, you know, communicating with your God, you know, being intimate with your God. And so naturally the heavens are going to be open over you because you've created a place. The Bible said the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. So you created a place for God to dwell. Like Abraham, he created an environment, a home environment, that whenever God, which was a theophany, Christ before his manifested time, would appear, he would have dinner with Abraham. He would talk to Abraham. He would, you know, inquire about things concerning Abraham's life. Why? Because Abraham lived a life that drew the friendship of God. It drew the favor of God. Okay, and it's unfortunate that we have some who are so emotionally bankrupt, and I'm not saying that to you know, that's not a throw off. I really mean that. When you are jealous of someone's, like the definition said, resentful of someone else's success or achievement, then there's something that you have not valued within yourself. You know, there's something that you have not unlocked within yourself. You know, and then too, let me venture a little bit further and say this. There are some things that concerning the things of God, you have a poor understanding in. You know, God has mercy on whom he will. God chooses who he will. And so that really brings me to my core point is, when a person mistreats or becomes jealous of God's elect, of God's chosen person. And God has, there's no respect to persons, but there are some people that God has particularly called out for a certain work that, you know, other people just didn't get that phone call. You know what I'm saying? Many are called, but few are chosen. So, you know, it's not that God doesn't love you. It's not that God doesn't love that individual. It's just that they have a poor understanding of the ways of God and the things of God, and there's something within themselves that they have not yet unlocked. There's a potential in them they have not unlocked. Now, going back to Joseph's brothers, these men were the future tribes of Israel in their own right. They had tremendous destiny. As a matter of fact, let me say this. You don't hear about the tribe of Joseph. Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, they took over his name. Jacob gave them a double portion, gave Joseph a double portion. And instead of it being called the tribe of Joseph, it's called the tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim. So what they didn't understand, this is what I believe some people have a hard time with. Just because it's a person's hour to be used doesn't mean that your hour will never come. Now, depending on how you conduct yourself, these are all issues and matters of integrity. Depending on how you conduct yourself, you can cancel your stuff out. You know what I'm saying? You can cancel your stuff out. That you know, you can become so focused on what someone is doing in their right now season that it overwhelms you. Your mind has just been inundated and saturated with what they are doing and what God has said and what they have and you can become so you know, bogged down with what's happening with them and what they're doing. I mean, you can take up a campaign and watch a person's life closer than they are. Jealousy will do that. Jealousy, symbolic thing is, it's a green-eyed monster. It has an eye. It has an eye. It watches. It doesn't miss anything. When you're dealing with someone with operating in a jealous spirit, they can tell you every detail. It would they are so detailed, and if only they could take that gift and use it, that, you know, in a seer realm or some kind of prophetic realm, man, they'd be some awesome people, because they're very discerning. But their discernment is off. You know, it's a contaminated discernment. They're not looking to advance the kingdom or to expose the enemy. They're looking through that green eye and condemning everything they see about that individual. The Bible said they hated him and could not speak kindly to him. They hated him. So when you have a person operating in the spirit of jealousy, like I said, there's several things going on with them. I talked about how there's a unlocking that needs to take place within themselves. Certainly some emotional healing to a greater or lesser degree. Could be dealing with some self-esteem issues, could be dealing with some rejection issues, some abandonment issues, maybe some orphan spirits, among many other things, spirits of deception. I mean, I can go on. So we're dealing with some emotional things. We're definitely dealing with some spiritual things. This person does not have the ability to see into their own life. They've highlighted everything about another person's life, and they have not taken the time to examine what they have and what their abilities are. When the Lord spoke to Cain, he said, you know, why is your countenance fallen? If you have done well, wouldn't you have been accepted? So what God was saying to Cain, he said, listen, I know you're upset. I know you're envious, and you know, you're jealous of your brother, but you have the same potential. And that's what, you know, in prayer, when you're dealing with people that operate in jealous spirits, is understand that, you know, sometimes you got to pray for God to get an understanding that, you know, God didn't single you out just because, you know what I'm saying? Just because you're chosen doesn't mean the other person is not singled out and God can never do anything with them. You have the same opportunity. And so God told Cain, if you had done well, wouldn't you have been accepted? And then he goes on to say, you know, in other words, watch yourself. And one of my favorite things, I love to say, guard your spirit, guard your heart. You know, let me tell you something. Even the Bible said, I think Jeremiah said, you know, about guarding your heart, for out of it proceed the issues of life. Your heart, man, the heart is a very complicated thing. It's a very complicated thing. And it can hold people. It can hold jealousy for years. You can find families and generations of people. You can find, listen, even cultures of people, races of people, having strongholds of jealousy. It's terrible. It is an emotionally debilitating disease. So another unfortunate fruit of jealousy, of a person operating in jealousy, the operation of jealousy, is that when you have someone operating in jealousy, they miss what God is doing. You know, Jesus said, you stare, what did he say? You swallow a gnat. How did he say this? I think he said, you swallow a gnat and swatted a camel or something like that. I need to look that up. Hold on, I gotta find it because I don't want to misquote that. Yeah, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Now, Jesus said that. Right. In other words, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel, you know. And so, you know, and that's Matthew 23:24. So when you have a person that's operating in the spirit of jealousy, it's very difficult for them to see the blessing that you're meant to be in their life. And this is really where this message was birthed out of, because the Lord had been dealing with me about some things. And that's one thing he told me. He said, daughter, he said, you know, sometimes people can become so jealous that they mistreat the seed that I purpose you to be in their life. And of course, you know, I go to the scripture because you need to validate. You know, you can't, everything you hear is not God. You know what I'm saying? So you need to make sure that you're validating what God said by what God wrote, by what God wrote. So, but yeah, he said, you know, when people are jealous of you, they have a tendency to mistreat the seed. They'll mistreat the seed. Some will even try to kill the seed because they can't see the blessing that you were destined to be in their life, because they're striving against you too much. They're fighting you too much. You can't enjoy the blessing from something you're fighting. You know, and that's what Jesus told Paul. It's hard to kick against the prick, man. You're going to have to make a decision. You know, you're going to have to make a decision. So it's hard to receive the blessing that someone is mandated to be in your life when you can't get past being jealous of them. And again, this goes back to Genesis 37 and 4 with Joseph. Joseph, even though God favored him for a cause. God favored him for a reason. It wasn't because, you know, whatever. God favored him for a cause because he was the prophet of his family. He was the seer of his family. And he had the integrity. And that's so very important in this time and day and age. Joseph had the integrity to endure the hardship, the tests, the trials, the accusations, the imprisonment, the being forgotten. I released that podcast a couple days ago. Joseph had the integrity to endure it, whereas his brothers did not. Well, how do you know, woman of God? Well, look at what they did. They sought to kill their own brother. That's an issue of integrity. If you can seek to kill someone, whether it's, God forbid, physically, but, you know, you're killing their dreams. You're killing, murdering their hopes and dreams and aspirations and promises. You're murdering that by coming against them, by fighting against them, by tearing against them. Then that's an issue of integrity. And if you can't deal with the human person you see in front of you, how are you going to deal with the trials of life? And so when you read throughout history, you find these sons of Jacob fell over and over, made mistake after mistake, over and over again. Presumptuous, haughty, hasty, you name it. So it's not so much that the person that God has chosen to be the seed, to be the blessing to that family, to that relationship. God knows what our propensities are. He knows what our capacities are. He knows what we can handle. Reuben would not have been able to handle that. Judah would not have been able to handle that. Issachar would not have been able to handle that. Only Joseph had the equipment to endure that season. And so that's why God chose him, because listen, and here too, here's how we can move in these spirits without even realizing, why is this person in my life? Why did God put this person here? We don't ask that question. Cain could have looked at his brother Abel and said, man, I didn't know God wanted blood. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We don't know everything. So if you see something that's working for someone, instead of becoming jealous and resentful and trying to, you know, create ways and devise ways, to tear them down, then say, hey, teach me, show me how this works so I can have success in my life, so I can please God, so I can, you know, grow and mature, what have you. Instead of fighting that person that found the key, you know, join them. You know, there's a saying, if you can't beat them, join them. And so instead of them saying, instead of Cain saying, hey, Abel, man, I missed it. You know, I just got some vegetables and, you know, I didn't really know. I didn't have that understanding. It hadn't been unlocked, but apparently you found it. So, you know, can you show me how to do this? Or maybe next time, can we work together? Or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, taking a healthy approach. Instead of, you know, why you did this and why God doing that for you and why is this happening? Instead of, you know, resorting to that, acting in the flesh, taking a more mature approach and saying, hey, I noticed that this is working for you. Something is working for you. I watch you in your worship. This is what Cain could have said to Abel. I watch you in your worship, man. You give God everything you got. You don't hold nothing back. You pour out. You don't care about what your voice sounds like. You don't care about whether you can carry a tune in a bucket. You don't care about what you have. I'm watching you, and I'm noticing that your life is just, you're just blessed. Everything about your life is blessed. It seems like everything you touch prospers. How can I have that? Can you show me? Can you mentor me? Can I shadow you? Can I just kind of, can we connect? And I'm not looking to pull from you. I'm looking to learn. I need to, because I want what you have. Joseph's brothers could have said the same thing. Listen, man, you're the baby brother. And your mom died in childbirth. And so I get it. You don't have, your mother here, what have you. But there's something different about you. Man, Dad, when he talks about you, there's a light in his eyes. And I think Rachel was still living at that time. Dad, I'm not sure. Rachel Benjamin. Yeah, she had already passed. So, the brothers could have said, man, there's something about you. Dad made this robe, and out of all of us, you get it. So what's going on, man? What is God showing you? What's happening? You know what I'm saying? How can we be a part of what God's getting ready to do in your life? Or what is God showing you? And then later on, Joseph did tell him, and he fought that too. You understand what I'm saying? But when you have the uprightness of heart the Bible talks about, being upright in heart, lifting up holy hands, and you see something that's working for someone else, it doesn't rob you to connect with that person and say, hey, this is working for you, man. I see the favor of God on your life. God has opened up some doors for you, and things are just moving really slow for me. I've been praying. I've been asking God what the issue is. And can we connect? I need to do, can we study something together? Or can in worship, can I stand beside you? Or can you just send me a song list? Or, how can I get into where you are with God? Do you see what I'm saying? Let's talk about David for a moment. Here, David is out in the woods. He doesn't even have the pleasure of being raised in the house with his father and other siblings. He doesn't have that pleasure. Yet, when the prophet comes to town, he goes to David. Samuel Bob, the oil, the Bible said the oil stayed in the horn. So, good God, that's a message right there. The anointing couldn't relate to anything that those brothers had. Didn't care about your stature, didn't care about your wealth, didn't care about your prestige, your education, your background. The anointing did not respond to none of them. That anointing did not release itself until Samuel connected with David. Then there was an outpouring. There was a breaking forth, and the anointing oil was released. So what could have David's brothers, if they had uprightness of heart, they could have said, hey, bruh, man of God, this is strange to us. How is it that you're out in the field all the time and we're home, and we're even soldiers in the army, in Saul's army. How is it that, Samuel bypassed us and saw you, man? What kind of encounters are you having out there? Can we come out there sometimes and just sit with you while you shepherd and just see, we hear sometimes you singing and praying, and we didn't pay any attention to it, but now we see that you're moving God. You're attracting the presence of God. You're causing prophets to come out of their caves and out of their places of assignment to come seek you out. So, man, what is it, man? Can we connect? Can you show me, teach me, or do you see something? Or, do you have anything, some words of wisdom? That's having uprightness of heart. Instead of fighting the person that God has favored, understand that there's a reason why this is happening for you. I don't understand it. You're younger than us. You haven't arrived yet. You don't have this success or experience that we have. But for some reason, the favor of God is on your life, and I need to know why. Because there's a great possibility you can be a blessing to me. And in all of these instances, well, except Cain and Abel, because, God himself dealt with that. There's no comeback from that. But when dealing with Joseph and dealing with David, they tried to kill the seed. They tried to kill the blessing that God planted in right in their own family. And that's what jealousy would do. Jealousy, the Bible said, they will cause people to hate you and not even be friends with you, will despise you. Whereas, if they could accept and embrace what God is doing, you could, if you're the target of jealousy, you could be a tremendous blessing to that person, to that family, to that situation, to that place, or if they would accept you, if they would embrace you. If they would have embraced Joseph, which we know his destiny had to unfold, yeah. But if they only would have embraced Joseph, do you understand that their journey would have been so much easier? They sent Joseph away, sold him, tried to kill him, and thank God Reuben intervened. But their initial mindset was to kill him, kill the dreamer. We can't stand him. Every time he comes around, every time she comes around, I feel something stirring inside of me. And that's what jealousy does. Oh, here she comes. Look at her. Here he goes. Look at them. Look, here's what, look at what they're doing now. Look at what she's... That spirit, well, it will consume your whole life. That green out monster, you'll be stalking people. Jealous people will stalk you. You know, they will stalk you. They will. If anybody say, "Hey, what's going on, child?" Let me tell you, they done did this. They went here to get. They can tell you because they're watching. They're monitoring your life. I wrote a book a couple of years ago about demonic gate watchers, and when I talk about jealousy, they're not spiritual, but they are human agents. Human agents. Of evil who watch your, they're not watching your life for good. David's brothers were not watching his life for good. And you can tell that they watch his life. Go back to the shepherd with those few little sheep. You know what I'm saying? How you know what I'm doing out in the woods? You'd be amazed. Jealous people know what you're doing. They know your movements. They track you because that, remember that green eye, it follows you. It wants to see what you're doing. So, and it's kind of weird. Because if you're jealous of someone, I would think that if it bothers you to see what they're doing and what they have and where they're going, if it bothers you like that, then I would think just leave, walk away. You know, don't put yourself through that. You know, if something is bothering you and you have the power to walk away from it, then walk away from it. But jealousy is different. Jealousy is different. Jealousy will cause a person to be so bothered by your movements, but they can't stop watching you. They can't stop. You think about Jesus with the religious rulers. They were so jealous of him. The Bible said they sought occasions to overthrow him. That's what jealousy does. It seeks out an occasion to destroy. David's brothers sought out occasion. Yeah, you might be the king of Israel, but we're going to kill your spirit. You know, by the time you get in, and you'd be amazed. Boy, I'm hearing all the spirit ministers and things in me right now. But you'd be amazed why David had so many struggles in his kingship, in his leadership. Could it be related to household curses? Could it be related? Maybe we'll talk about that another day. Could it be related that you come out from a house that didn't acknowledge you? Your father, Jesse, didn't even acknowledge you. Your brothers don't even... lend credibility to the work that you're called to do, and then here you take the throne and you're fighting. You know what I'm saying? You're fighting. And then not only that, it's generational fighting, because now your children are fighting. They're fighting each other and fighting you. So that's a thought. You see what I'm saying? But the brothers could not get past, David's brothers could not get past, "I can't stop you from being king." And here's what jealousy does. "I can't stop you from being successful, but I'm going to watch you and keep my mouth on you so that you'll struggle even in success." Even though the Bible said Jesus, everywhere Jesus went, he went about doing good. He had to fight just about everywhere he went. There was always something. Either it was a demon or a people. You know what I'm saying? Spiritual demons or human demons. Human agents of Satan, I like to call them. People letting the devil use human agents. It was a fight. It was a struggle. So, you know, when you're dealing with somebody who is operating in a jealous spirit, don't take that lightly, because their words has venom. The Bible said it. Their words were filled with hate. They were unfriendly words. Unfriendly. Words that had no peace. So these were words of hot. If somebody can't speak a kind word to you, then that only leaves certain other kinds of words they can speak to you. Hostile words, cursing words, accusatory words, condemning words, you know, just shameful words, hurtful words. I mean, you name it. That's what Joseph had to endure. But that was why he was the chosen one, because God knew that he could endure it. None of the other brothers had the stamina to endure what Joseph did. Not one. But he endured it all the way to the end. And then you know what? When I talked about people, how folks kill the seed, the same one that they put their mouth on, couldn't stand, couldn't speak a peaceable word to, guess what? Joseph, we're hungry. And what did God do in Joseph's spirit and his heart? He gave him a forgiving heart. Again, that sets the bar between why certain people are chosen for certain things and why certain people aren't. Many are called, but few are chosen, because there are some people whom God has equipped differently. Does that make them better than you? No, absolutely not. They're not better than you. They have a different charge and they have heavier responsibility. Why? Because God can entrust them with such. But again, when you don't look within yourself to see what your own strengths are, you know, you'll always fascinate yourself with somebody else's. And if you're not careful, that covetousness, always watching and wanting what someone has, and you have to be very careful about that in the body of Christ. Oh, I want her anointing. I want his anointing. And then sometimes it can really turn demonic to the point to where you would sabotage or attempt to sabotage somebody's character or reputation just so that you can take that place. The Bible talks about thinking, where was I reading at? Was it Jude or John? Some of the books of John. I don't know if it's First John, but the Bible talks about Diotrephes wanting to have preeminence over the people, wanting the high seat. He started out with the apostles, and then the spirit of the world entered into his heart, and he wanted the high seat. He wanted people to acknowledge him. And I think that again goes to the root of jealousy. People want to be acknowledged for whatever. I think Cain wanted to be acknowledged, but you've got to give God something worth acknowledgement. You know, if you're putting in minimal effort and you and someone else is giving God everything, you know, God is a just God. There's no respect of persons, yes, but he's also a just God. He's got to respond to what you give him. He's got to respond. So if you're giving him minimal effort, then, you know, that's what you get in return. God is not mocked. Remember, we talked about that in Galatians. God is not mocked. But if you're giving God everything, you know, Joseph gave God his whole life. His whole life. Sacrificed from his family, from his, you know, his father. Sacrificed his life in a strange land. Sacrificed his integrity with a woman trying to rape him. Sacrificed his life, you know, a prophet being in prison. But he did it. So how can we become jealous and resentful over someone like Joseph's success when we aren't willing to go a tenth of the mile that he has? And so that's the danger of dealing with someone who's operating in jealousy, is that it's unfortunate that you've damned someone who's putting forth the effort that you won't. You've got the same ability. You know, it goes to someone maybe jealous of somebody's education, but guess what? You can go to school too. Or they're jealous of the car. You can buy a car too. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, a lot of times we spend so much time watching that green-eyed monster, always looking at what someone else has and what they're doing and where they are going, that we fail to look within ourselves and see the potential that God has put there. But somehow, if there's some kind of broken emotional something going on, we don't even see our own worth. And so we're always measuring and comparing ourselves to what somebody else is doing. Cain measured himself against Abel. He was upset. The Bible said his countenance had fallen. He was mad, upset. And there are people right now who are angry, who are upset, because things are not flowing in their life the way they desired. God is not responding the way they want. Breakthroughs are not happening despite how many prophecies they've received. things are just not happening. Why? Because there's matters of the heart that have not been dealt with. And you would be amazed. The Bible said the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know? You don't even know what's in your heart until God reveals it to you. You have no idea. You hear some people say, well, I would never do that. I would. You don't know what you would or would not do. Because circumstances have a way to unpeel layers of you that you never had known existed. God can cause one thing to happen in your life right now. And the thing that you said you would never do, you could have a tendency to do. I can imagine Job's wife didn't wake up and with the mindset, I'm going to curse God today and have my husband do the same thing. That wasn't on her agenda. You know, oh, at 8 o'clock, I'm going to get up and fix breakfast. At 9 o'clock, I'm going to get my nails done. Oh, at 10, I'm going to curse God and come and persuade my husband to do the same thing. That wasn't on her agenda. But there were circumstances that met her and it caused her to say something she otherwise would have never said. Job said, you sound foolish. So, excuse me, if he said you sound foolish, then apparently that was not something that he was used to. Excuse me, to hearing come from her. That was not a conversation that they had been accustomed to having. That wasn't, you know, you hear some people say, oh, you're talking crazy. Why would they say that? It's because you're saying something different than they know you to say. You're speaking, you know, you're not speaking the same language you used to. You're speaking different. You're speaking out of your pain. You're speaking out of anguish. You're speaking out of frustration, hurt, but it's not you. It's your emotion speaking. The pain of your emotion speaking. So I want to tie these thoughts up. Talking about Joseph and his brothers, and I'm talking about, you know, facing jealousy and maintaining your integrity, because now we talk about jealous people and operations and all that stuff, but you have a responsibility if you are the target of someone's jealousy, or the victim, really, because it's a victimization, because you will be mistreated by jealous people. The Bible said, I just read it for you. They're going to mistreat you. They're not going to say kind things about you. They're going to watch you. They're going to, just read the scriptures, you know, according to Genesis 37:4, they're going to hate you and they're not going to speak well of you. According to Genesis 27:41, they're going to plot to overthrow you. Sabotage you. In 1 Samuel 17:28, they're going to mock the good that you do. They're going to mock your work. They're going to mock your worship. They're going to mock your relationship. So you are a victim. Okay. In a sense. Now we know Jesus Christ set you free. And here's my point I'm leading up to. There is a way you can overcome. Listen, the fact that people are jealous of you really has nothing to do with you. It's really all a matter of their heart, not yours. Not yours. It's not anything. Didn't do anything. Joseph didn't do anything. David didn't do anything. Well, we know Jacob. That's different. But praise God. But you know, for the other brothers, other men of God, the elders in the faith, they didn't do anything. It was just God chose them. So when you are the target of someone's jealous episodes, you can still operate in integrity. And you have to really watch your heart when you do that, because you want to make sure that, because some people are just messy. I mean, come on now. You know, if you are that kind of person where you thrive, and again, this goes to a broken emotional system. You thrive off of people. How do I want to put this? Let me rephrase what I said. If you're the kind of person who gets a kick out of people being jealous of you, then something is wrong with you. You know what I'm saying? You have to check the integrity of your heart. You know, because you want to make sure that you don't do things intentionally to provoke them to jealousy. And that scripture too, let me give you that scripture, because you know, y'all know we work in the word. Come on now. Let me give you the word. This is found, let's see. It's two verses here. Deuteronomy 32:21. Deuteronomy 32:21. They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. This is the Lord speaking to his prophet Moses. They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They've moved me to anger by their foolish idols, but I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I will move them to anger by a foolish nation. Do you see that? And so it's fulfilled in, let's go to Acts, excuse me, Romans 11:11. So I gave you Deuteronomy 32:21, where the Lord spoke through his prophet Moses and said, I'm going to provoke you out of jealousy. Okay. Now in Romans 11:11, Paul's talking to the church of Rome. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So we see something very unique happening, that even though you have people who are jealous of you, you be careful that you don't provoke them to be jealous. Now, you're not God. You know, God can do that, and God did that specifically because Israel kept rebelling against him. They kept rejecting him, and he said, fine, you make me jealous by other relationships. And listen, even in relationships, right, marriages or somebody that you see in and you contemplate a marriage, whatever, you know, don't provoke people to jealousy. If you're dealing with the issue, let me just go there for a minute. If you're dealing with the issue between you and that person and y'all not getting along or just not having a good day, don't try to make them jealous or try to, you know, conform their will to you. Don't do that. That's witchcraft. You know, don't do that. You know, well, she won't return my call, so I'm going to put on Facebook, I'm talking to somebody else. Now, you're provoking jealousy. Don't do that. That's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Or, and even in the church world, you know, oh, I'm, you know, you won't let me preach in your church, so I'm going to go to somebody else's church, and I'm going to take 1,000 pictures and put, and I'm telling you this because I've seen people do this. And you're like, okay, what, you know, what is that? You know, and you, when you can discern, you know that there's something, there's some witchcraft operating behind that. They're looking to control, looking to manipulate some of your decisions. Don't do that. Okay. If you submit to that, you will always submit to these types of temper tantrums. You always, every time, you know, they don't get their way, they'll provoke you to jealousy. And so, and to keep you from going through the motions of that emotion, you'll just say, okay, yeah, whatever you want. I'll let you do this. I'll let you. That's charismatic witchcraft. Don't do it. So you don't get to provoke people to jealousy. Okay. God does that. All right. And we saw what happened when the people provoked God to jealousy. It did not work well. So that's not something that you want to subscribe to. They made God jealous. God brought them out. God delivered. And some of us are doing that right now. I'll just venture to say there are many of us right now that are making God jealous. He has delivered us. He has brought us out. He has made ways for us. He has glorified us in his spirit. He has given up his given us his word. He's blessed us with skills and talents. And what do? Take it and hoard it. You know, I had to deal with my church about, you know, about some prophetic things. You know, you would be amazed. You provoke God to jealousy when he's given you the gift to be used. And in turn, you do something else with it. He was provoked. And I'm telling you, listen to me carefully when I say this. If you are provoking God to jealousy, it is not going to go well for you. And you can read Deuteronomy 32, chapter 21, 32, verse 21. If you're provoking God, and I'm saying this, and I say this to you in the love of Jesus, but if you're provoking God to jealousy, God is going to provoke you to jealousy. And what does that look like? Saul provoked God to jealousy, and so God provoked him and said, you know what? I'm going to ordain a neighbor better than you. So that's not a game that you can win. You know, when God expects us to do something, he expects us to be somewhere, he expects us to give something, expects us to be a part of something. God means what he means. He means what he says, and he says what he means. Do it. Because if you don't, and you're using that thing for something else, whatever it is, they used the gold that God blessed them to walk out of Egypt with. And instead of using that to invest in their prosperity in Canaan, the Bible said they took it and melted it down and made a golden calf, and then fell down and worshiped it, provoked God to jealousy. Provoked God to jealousy. And what did God say? Verse 21, Deuteronomy 32, 21. I will provoke you to jealousy. In other words, you know, you don't want to do what I called you to do. And this is for somebody. Here you go. I can feel that prophetic wind. you don't do what God has told you to do, or you have to do it, or you do it when you want to do it, guess what? God will provoke you to jealousy, and the same thing that you didn't do, didn't want to do, have done, did it when you wanted to, someone else, he said, by another nation, God will raise somebody else up to do it, and God will get tremendous glory out of it. And it will, the Bible says, and it will move you to anger. Now that's the word of God. Deuteronomy 32, verse 21. Write it down in your whatever. When you don't do what God has told you to do, God has to chase you. God has to woo you. Come on and praise Him. Come on, everybody. You know, we have to keep doing that. God has to keep doing that. Your leaders have to keep doing that. Your family members have to keep, you know, persuading you to do what you're supposed to, you know you're supposed to do. And you keep provoking God to jealousy, keep provoking Him to anger. Then in a minute, somebody else will come along and it will provoke you. And I'll say this, you may not get the chance to go back and do that over. And I'll tell you this, look at Israel, look at the nation of Israel right now. Romans 11:11, Paul prophesied it came to pass. You know, we are the wild branch. We are the foolish nation, the Gentiles, the brutes, barbarians. We are those people. Guess what? We're calling on the name of Jesus. The same Jesus they rejected, the same Jesus they crucified. Now, there are some Messianic Jews that have accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah, and we bless God for them. But there's a whole lot of other folk that are still waiting for Jesus to come. And I told one of my colleagues years ago, we were talking, and you know, he said, well, I'm still waiting on Jesus to come. And we told him, honey, Jesus has already come and is on his way back. You know what I'm saying? But they missed it. And so now we are enjoying the fruit of the relationship with Jesus, and they're still waiting for it to happen. And unfortunately, some will miss it. Some won't accept Him until the tribulation. And they have to go through the tribulation to come out accepting Jesus. So God held true to His word. I'm trying to wrap this up. God held true to His word in terms of dealing with jealousy. So I just wanted to bring that up because, you know, don't be that person to provoke people to jealousy when you know, because you know, you know who's watching you. You know who's, you know, you know what I'm saying? You know those who laboring among you. You know those who are stalking you. The Holy Spirit has already revealed that thing to you. But what you don't, remember what I say, when you face jealousy, you do it with the uprightness of heart, with a matter of integrity. Don't clap back. Don't provoke. Not what they watching me. I'm going to give them something to watch for. I'm going to give them something. Don't do that. Continue to be humble. Joseph continued to be humble. Even though they his brothers, sold him and you know, he had attempted murder, what have you. He humbled himself. He submitted. He didn't understand it, but he submitted. And he went through whatever they put him through, he went through it. But God got tremendous glory, and God brought him out on top. Same thing happened with David. He didn't fight his brothers back. So we have to be very careful about how we clap back. You know, oh, I'm coming for them. Oh, so and so and so. So now you're operating in the flesh. Okay? Now you're in a position to where you could potentially shut every door and every window that God just opened for you. Because of the way that you're acting. Endure it. Take it. Cry if you got to. Ask God to help you. David cried throughout the entire book of Psalms. That's why on some of my podcasts, I don't know if anybody ever really noticed it, I would just read the book of Psalms. I would just read it, the dramatized version, because I learned in the book of Psalms how to pray. Biblical, the art of prayer, I like to call it, because the Bible says you got to pray fervent and effectual prayers, are the prayers that availeth much. Those are the prayers that have God deems worthwhile. Not listen, there's a lot of people praying and God is not responding because the prayers are void of kingdom principles. Jesus taught us how to pray in Matthew 6:9, and the whole book of Psalms is nothing but prayers, prophecies, but most importantly, just prayers. So a lot of times you'll find, you know, I'll just quote a couple of Psalms, you know, because there's so much meaning in that. When you had a situation in your life and you don't know what to do, you don't know how to fight back. You don't even know if God wants you to fight. You know, when some battles are just His and He just wants you to stand still. And so that's why I've, you know, just read Psalms from my heart, you know. So there is a way that you can overcome being the target of jealousy. It's by trusting God. It's by not responding to the foolishness. Staying focused. Stay focused on your goals. Joseph stayed focused because despite the fact that people tried to kill him and he was seed to his family, he still harvested. He still harvested. He still brought forth great fruit. So people's jealousy of you has nothing over your capacity to yield fruit, to be, to multiply, to expand, to grow. However, listen, how people feel about you has nothing to do with what God said about you. That's their problem. Now we pray for them and we ask God for some people just don't have an understanding. Like I said, they got some esteem issues. And so you pray for them. You know, the Bible said, pray for them that despitefully misuse you, pray for them. A lot of people there's a lot of hurting people, you know, I didn't realize how bad until the Lord took me into this mental health profession. I had no idea. You know, I always looked at things from a spiritual point of view and, you know, but now, you know, adding to that, you know, mental health training and so forth, it's a lot, you know, it's a lot. And God has blessed me and is blessing me to be able to minister to the whole man, not just your spirit, but your soul, you know? So stay focused on what God has called you to do. There's a reason why God favored you. There's a reason why the favor on your life is provoking devils and it's provoking jealousy. There's a reason. That's not your problem. Don't make the problem people have with you your problem. That's their problem. They have to deal with that. You pray for them, but you continue to move forward and do what God called you to do. So you can, Joseph showed us the ultimate example. You can keep moving. It may be a lonely season. There may be times when you can't really tell anybody anything. Maybe times when you just sit at home and, look out the window, you know. When you are the target of jealous spirits, you have to really watch your feet. You can't just go anywhere because you don't want to intentionally, I hear you, Holy Spirit. You don't want to intentionally provoke jealousy. And I'm just going to share that. I chuckled a little while ago because, listen, y'all, me and Holy Spirit have a beautiful relationship. Don't get me started. I already have tears in my eyes. But that was one of the reasons why God backed me up from social media some was because of jealousy. And you have to be careful when God is revealing to you that there are certain spirits around you. And this is why Jesus said, it's not my time yet. Because if you venture into certain things, having full knowledge of certain spirits around you, it can complicate certain seasons. Okay, that Paul, Paul said it like this. Oh, was it Paul? He said they have been great effectual doors open to me and many adversaries. So when doors are opening for you, understand that it comes with adversaries, and not everybody is going to be happy for your next season. Okay, so you sometimes have to pull back to keep from provoking people to jealousy. Jesus did it. Jesus said, don't tell anybody. It's not dumbing you. Now, there's a difference when you dumb down, but there's also wisdom in knowing, like the book of Ecclesiastes say, when to embrace, when to refrain from embracing. Proverbs says, withdraw your foot from your neighbor's house, lest he get weary of thee and hate thee. You have to know when to withdraw your foot, when enough is enough. You stop posting those pictures. You stop posting those files. You stop. There are certain things you just have to, the wisdom of God will say, back up from it. Because you're surrounded by some unfriendly, unfriendlies. I'll leave it like that. You're surrounded by something. So you just in an attempt to preserve your next season, hear me carefully, in an attempt to preserve your next season, there may be times when God says, sit back, 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 pull back, retreat. You know what I'm saying? Until God deals with, maybe there's some people that need to be mature in certain areas. Maybe there's some folk that need some healing. But what you don't want to do is when you have full knowledge that certain spirits are operating around you and you just keep going, stepping and stomping, and, you know, that's not wisdom, and you're provoking people to jealousy. And, you know, there's consequences to that. So that's why the Bible said Jesus came meek and lowly. Jesus did not come on a stallion. He didn't come with all of this wealth, because he would have provoked people. And when you provoke people, they can hardly hear you, can they? No. You're not listening to someone who you are provoking or who's being provoked by you. So, you know, the Holy Spirit will teach you so much wisdom, so much wisdom. And you may say, well, I got all these followers, not got so and so and so. You better obey God. And some of your movements need to be in secret. Some of the, you know, events and things that you have with your family or close people, you better keep them a secret. There's some of my associations that, you know, no one knows about. Secret. Everybody doesn't need. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So, don't provoke people to jealousy. Maintain the uprightness of your heart. If God has favored you and it's provoking others to jealousy, God will deal with that. Let me say that again. If God has favored you and that favor is provoking other people to be jealous of you, God will deal with it. It's not your job. Oh, I know y'all some haters. I know y'all watching me. I know so and so and so. Now, see, you done called some warfare. You have summoned war at your door. And guess what? You declare the war, you fight the war. God only fights wars that he declares. Bible said if a man goes to battle, he must first count up the cost. So if you want to go put yourself out there like that, I hope you prepare for what's coming behind it, because you're going to have some war at your door. But if you can just be humble like David did. David received his ordination and he went right back to the field. He didn't walk around the house and say, yep, I guess I'll take this bedroom since I am going to be the king in a minute. No, you don't provoke people to jealousy. Don't do that. Keep an upright heart. Stay humble before God, because listen, it's the blessing of God that he chose you. Okay? It's the favor of God that he equipped you for certain things. And it's for somebody else. It's not just for you. Pray for those who despitefully misuse you. Pray for those who are jealous of you, especially those of your own house, whatever that looks like. Job, career, church, family, relationship, whatever. Pray for those household enemies. Household enemies that are jealous of you. Just pray for them. Because they don't understand the reason why God has favored you is to be a blessing to them. So you would be the one to get a prayer through, or to have the money to help save their house or their car or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So praise God. Well, I'm going to conclude today's discussion. We talked about facing jealousy and maintaining integrity. I pray that this word has enlightened you in many areas and has been a blessing to you. And if you're a person that's, you know, maybe you're the person that's operating in jealousy, God wants you to know that there's nothing for you to be jealous of. You know, he said, my son, my daughter, I have great things for you too. I want you to look within yourself and realize that I'm working in you too. I'm molding you, you know, for your own season. This may not be your season. It may be your season to support, but I'm working in you too. So relinquish that. Let go of the resentment and the bitterness and the covetousness. God said, let it go so that I can feel you. And God said, so I can heal you. God said, let me heal those broken areas in your life where you feel inadequate. Some of your parents may have broken that area. Some of your exes may have broken that area. And so now you're jealous when you see other successful people, because the enemy has persuaded you that you'll never have that. You'll never be that. But the devil's a liar, hear the Lord say. God said, I'm not done with you. It's just right now it's your season to be healed. You're not good for anybody right now. You're not good for the platform. You're not good for the stage. You're not good for the next season. You know, you do more harm than good because you're unhealthy, spiritually unhealthy. Your soul is unhealthy. So God said, just pull aside. Let me heal you. and let me show you the wonderful things that I plan to do in you too. And let's work on that. Spend time devoted to that. For those of you who are targets of people's jealousy, resist the urge to provoke people to jealousy. If you have picked up a clapback, throwback, flashback, get you back spirit, ask God to deliver you from pride and haughtiness and arrogance. And humble yourself so that God can lift you up, so that God can fight for you. God is not going to fight for you if you're provoking people. Okay? He's not going to fight for you. And so you're going to call wars that God has not orchestrated, and he's not obligated to send in help either. You know what I'm saying? He's not obligated to send help to you if you declared a war that he didn't orchestrate. So pray for those who, you know, feel jealous, have jealous feelings about you. You know, pray for them. Ask God to show them who they are. Ask God to heal them in those broken areas, so they realize that they're somebody too. You know, they have destiny. They've got great purpose too. You're not the only one. Your work just may be a little bit different, but we know better. Amen. All right. Well, we love you and we bless God for you. And we pray to come back and fellowship with you at the appointed time. Until next time, grace and peace.